August is busy. We've got plenty to do for you. We need to get in shape.
And don't forget those students come back because IU starts the 21st.
As does Ivy Tech, so it will all be rolling in that. You asked earlier, how you'll blink one day and it'll be Labor Day week. Well, that's right, because we have a million things to do before Labor Day. And when we have things to do, things tend to go faster. So today's big focus, please be aware out in the RBB district that everybody is back to school. Plus, you have fair traffic going on. And with that forecast I just gave you with Friday and Saturday, the state fair's not going to bother anybody out that way. Friday and Saturday's forecast, Keith, you're going to have probably some of the biggest crowds ever because the temperatures are going to be absolutely perfect for being out and enjoying all of that. If you need more details, go to monroecountyfairgrounds.in. Today is Thursday. Carnival rides all night. Just one ticket. Remember, what time's the carnival?
5 p.m.
Don't go early. Yeah. Well, you can go early.
Yeah. Watch the rides. Sit there, not moving.
50 elephant ears. That's what I do if I was accidentally there early. Baby contest tonight plus mud volleyball. So you can
taking Michael to the baby contest?
No, he's a toddler, and he doesn't sit still or photograph well. Other than that, he's a hell of a kid. So. We'll worry about those glamour shots down the road on all of that. Maybe that's a good project for mom today to haul them out to the fair and see what goes
those
on there.
Poor kids.
They would love every minute of it. What are you talking about? 8:10 at WGCL, hour number two. If it goes as quickly as hour number one, we're going to be out of time before we know it. Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer both serve on the MCCSE school board and join us every Thursday morning to talk local education issues. Sue, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, listen, I've seen pictures of Mikey with underwear on his head, so I think he photographed really well.
Excuse me. That's Captain Underpants to you.
Yeah.
That's a superhero that takes care of our home and neighborhood. So if you see Captain Underpants on the internet, yes, that is part of my daily struggle of life. Now,
I think it's great.
Well, he is a funny kid. We'll give him a little bit of credit this morning.
Okay.
But he wears me out, and I enjoy coming in and doing radio in the morning because this is the most peaceful and quietest part of my day talking to you and Keith.
Good for you.
And we're both potty trained.
Well, I'm glad to help out.
That's exactly
okay.
Right. Well, good. I'm glad you guys are here this morning because we have plenty of stuff to talk about. And I don't want to be alarmist about this, but when you turn on the news last night at 11 o'clock and the lead story on, I don't know which channel I was watching, maybe 13.
All of them, yeah, was
the city of Muncie and their school district is not having school today because they're having transportation issues. Sue, let me just give everybody the background on this. I know you and Keith are up to speed on it. Here's a story from Emily Longnecker, WTHR.com. Muncie Community Schools will be closed today due to issues with the district. District's transportation plans. The district announced the closure Wednesday evening, saying they will be reviewing the plans with their transportation company, quote, to avoid the issues which were experienced today. Muncie started classes on Wednesday. What does this matter? Well, it matters because the transportation company they're using, Keith, is?
Auxilio.
And that is the same one that the MCCSC
contracted
will be using starting next Wednesday. The district canceled school Thursday to review its transportation plan. It's under a new company, as we just told you it was. The people have said there are other issues about it. They had issues with not having enough drivers, not having enough buses and things like that. I would suggest after talking to Nate Oliver
Director of Transportation,
we're a little bit different than Muncie, so everybody should, A, take what they hear and listen to it, but B, take it with a grain of salt.
Mike, I think that's a really good point. Because we don't know all the issues that Muncie is facing. We know one thing, that maybe people registered late for classes. They might not have had every house, every stop put into their system, so there could have been problems with that. I don't know that the problem was totally with Auxilio. And if you'll recall, MCCSC did not contract all of our drivers out to Auxilio. You know, for years, we've had our MCCSC drivers as well as contracted drivers who they were their own boss, their own they bid on a contract and they were awarded a route. Now we've clumped those together under Auxilio, but that's still a minority of the bus routes we run. And I know that our superintendent and our administration has been working with a contingency plan for a couple months this summer to ensure no matter what happens with Auxilio, every single student who's supposed to get transported will get transported. So I think we have an advantage, as I said, that not all of our buses are contracted out to Auxilio.
And I think that's an important fact to remember. And the other fact, as you accurately mentioned, is Muncie is not Bloomington. So just because it happens somewhere else doesn't mean automatically it's going to happen here, because we know the district and everybody's been looking for bus drivers. That's nothing new, but it's been covered. The reason the Auxilio company, Keith, was brought in was to do what?
Well, the same thing. Not enough drivers and trying to find people to do the buses.
So that's Auxilio's job to do it, and if they don't meet their end of the spectrum, well, that's different. Right. Is it good news, Sue, that the MCCSE has 4 or 5 extra days to perhaps talk to them and say, hey, let's make sure this isn't happening here, correct?
Oh, yeah, I think that's true. But I also think our administration all summer long has worked with Auxilio, because we have a contract with them, asking them or demanding that they live up to that contract and that we have the routes covered when school starts. Now, I do know that in the past, for instance, last year when we were short bus drivers, we ended up with bus drivers for every route because the superintendent had people who were in maintenance certified to drive buses and then driving the buses. So I don't know if we'll have to pull in other staff, but certainly, as you said, Glass, finding bus drivers is not unique to us. It's happening everywhere. It's such an odd schedule. First of all, you have to want to drive a bus. Secondly, you have to be willing to do it with a whole lot of kids in your bus, and that can be kind of scary.
It can be. You're absolutely
right.
No, she's there. Oh, maybe we did lose her. She'll call back.
Okay. Maybe her cell
phone. There she is. Are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay. Don't move.
Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. Don't move.
Okay.
You've got the good signal
I'm
down.
I'm not moved.
Okay. Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. And MCCSE gets back to school next Wednesday, so we'll make sure that everybody's up and ready for that. If you have any questions about perhaps what's going on, the best way to do it is get a hold of the transportation office. Mm-hmm. And you can look them up on the website as well, mccse.edu/transportation. We had an interview with, as we mentioned, Nate
Oliver
on Tuesday. You can go back and listen to that at wgclradio.com. The first day of school is never perfect. Nobody's going to sit here and tell you otherwise. Why? Well, when you get that many people together for the first time, there's always going to be kinks and bumps and humps to get worked out. I've often joked on this program that baseball has been around since the 1870s. And there have only been 23 perfect games in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
So let's not set the bar so immaculately high. I think it's good to dream that big and say we're not going to have any problems on the first day of school. But if there are issues, it doesn't mean that there need to be or are comparable to somewhere going somewhere else. That's the other thing. Use your app. Where's the bus? Use your app. Talk to the people. There's going to be communication. In this world of technology today, you should be able to, again, make those concerns heard quickly, and hopefully they can be addressed
well,
quickly.
Well, and I want to point out, too, Mike, you've talked about it, and so has Sue. Muncie schools have had other problems in addition to the bus situation, and whether you can transfer their situation to our situation is still up for grabs.
No.
I know we've been dealing with Auxilio for months when they first were granted the contract. That was several months ago, and we've been dealing with them. The superintendent has been in conversations, and she's assured us that those conversations have got down to the nitty-gritty and that we should be ready to go.
And, you know, Glass makes a really good point about starting out, and the first day isn't always perfect. We're one of the larger school corporations in the state, and when you have 11,000 kids in such a large geographic area where our buses cover 9,000 miles a day, and we have so many buildings, so everything's not going to be perfect. That's our goal, but we'll run into some problems. And people by now should have gotten their notification of where their kid gets on the bus and what time. And if they haven't, then they should call the school administration center.
Sue, another issue that is affecting the schools, and it's been in the papers, and we talked about it with the superintendent at our last board meeting, but it has to do with the diplomas. And the reading on those is, not, what, 3 different diplomas now?
Well, I know that we have 2 different diplomas. I don't I can't talk about the third one, mm-hmm. but I do know that the feds are saying we have to go with the most rigorous diploma to count towards graduation. So that means even if someone gets a general diploma, which about a third, I think I saw in the paper,
right.
a third of our students receive, that won't count for the tally for graduation numbers.
Why?
It was a federal bill, and I guess I haven't read the bill, so I guess we need more information from legal or from legislators. It's a federal law that says the only thing that counts is the most rigorous. And I don't know what they mean, but I mean, maybe they have a different definition of most rigorous, but as we know and as we try to practice, every kid is different, and not every kid is going to achieve the same way. And a lot of our students with disabilities receive a general diploma. A lot of our students who plan to go to work after high school graduation, and we know the state and federal government have been pushing for more vocational technological education to put kids right in the career force right after graduation, those students don't necessarily get a Core 40 diploma, which is our highest diploma. So why would we force them to get that when they're graduating, meeting the standards of the state of Indiana? So I applaud Jennifer McCormick, our state superintendent, who has written to our congressional delegation explaining all of the problems with this.
And the other part of that is it's going to affect the school's letter grades mm-hmm. if
right,
they don't
right.
have as many. And again, that trickles down and affects what?
Well, it has to do with all kinds
funding.
Of things. That's right.
That's,
funding
that's
is
a huge one.
And by the
teacher performance grants, whether the state
right.
can intervene and take over, that's part of some of these things that can move on. Going forward, here's a general diploma, according to Brittany Howland yesterday's HT, requires fewer credits in math, science, and social studies than Indiana's Core 40 diploma. Parents must work with school counselors to determine whether a general diploma is a better fit for their student or formally, quote, opt out of the Core 40 or college-bound diploma. So
There's another aspect to that, Mike, and Sue mentioned one of the things was the technology. The other one is military. A lot of kids decide they're going to go into the military and get an education for a career area in the military. So they have looked at it that they don't need the Core 40 diploma to do that.
According to the State Department of Education, 12% of the state's 70,000 and change graduates received general diplomas. So that is going to... again, cause the A through F accountability grades to go in an opposite direction. So I don't know what we're trying to accomplish here.
I don't know either.
Because not everybody learns at the same rate. Not everybody's as smart as everybody should be. So I don't understand why we're trying to.
And not everyone's going to go to Harvard.
That's right.
Right. And I don't understand either, but the title of the federal law is Every Student Succeeds. And if we really do mean that, then we're going to mean they succeed at their own level of achievement. Not everybody succeeds at the same level. And I think it's one of the problems when you get the federal government involved with education, which is a purview legally and constitutionally of the states. They're trying to enact something that affects all 50 states instead of allowing the states to make some determination for themselves, and sometimes we don't even like the state determinations as it removes local control. So, I'm so pleased that Superintendent McCormick has contacted our congressional delegation, and that maybe there's some relief to this in the Congress.
Well, the major question is, if you don't do it, what happens? Does the state not get funding from the federal government? How much funding do they get anyhow? And how does that trickle down? What would be the angle for the states to say, you know what, that's not good for us. We're not doing it. It doesn't mm-hmm. work that way, does it?
No, but I what I'm hoping is that somebody like school superintendents throughout our state, especially the state superintendent, can have some impact on our legislators to say, this might have been one little sentence in a huge, huge bill, and maybe people passed over it and didn't pay attention to it, and maybe a little education will help. our superintendent, Judy DeMuth, also suggested, why don't we change our state diploma to one diploma? It would be called the Indiana Diploma. And so that would be our diploma that everybody would have to get. And under it, there could be different categories of types of diplomas that somebody received. And so maybe that would solve the issue. So, again, what a creative, innovative solution, and I hope something like that will work for us.
Sue, I don't know if you saw this or not, but speaking of school grades, the state has announced that in the next 2 weeks, the ISTEP grades will be out. That's earlier than normal and earlier than last year. So somewhere in the next 2 weeks, they're anticipating getting those grades out.
Wasn't anything earlier than last year?
Well, hey, it'll be interesting to see if they even meet the 2 weeks, but. You know.
Right, because we kind of heard that last year
and we kept
when it was
waiting.
Going to be by a certain date, and then
waiting.
It was out,
then they kept
changing
the date, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then scores were appealed, so we did. So I'm, you know, it's really great if the state can do that, but I'm going to wait and see if that truly happens.
But the grades are the issue is that up there again is what the school grade is, and that affects funding and all kinds of other things.
That's one part of the formula, isn't it?
Yes.
So. We'll see if those scores come out. And when those scores come out, what do they tell us, Sue? What is the is it just for the angle for the funding?
Personally, Glass, I don't think it tells us anything. What the state says is that you have to have, you know, that if you're an F school for a certain length of time, the state can take you over.
There you go.
So the state uses it as a reflection of your success as a school, and I disagree with that. Since the ISTEP test only tests math and language arts and some science, there's so many other things we know that our students learn and so many other ways that they learn that I don't think it's a reflection of our students, how our students are succeeding.
And we're not even talking about
the ability of our teachers. Yeah.
We're not even talking about the flaws of the test itself. That's
exactly.
A whole different
kit
and caboodle. By the way, real quick before we let you go, Tuesday is a work session. We start talking, as the city council is going to be doing soon, start talking budget kinds of things.
It's that time of year, isn't it? So this will be a work session where people can come and listen and observe what we're doing. And this will be our first, look at what the proposal for the budget might be. And then we'll have a couple of other meetings and hearings so that the public can weigh in. But this will be the first time everybody gets to take a look at the proposed budget for next year.